Morning, everyone. How's everyone doing? Let me just put the phone on silent in case it rings. Okay. Are you well this morning? Are you happy? Are you happy we'll be having Heritage Day next week, 22nd? I'm going to bring some upani worms. It's compulsory for everybody to taste one. So we'll bring some next week. Today I want us to build on the message of faith that we've been talking about in the past couple of weeks. We will specifically focus on, I want us to talk about faith for purpose. Can somebody say purpose in this place?
Purpose.
Yes, I think I've got my daughter like correcting my pronunciation. I'll just call it purpose. I know others pronounce differently. But anyway, that's faith for purpose. I want to talk about faith for purpose today. And you know, I went through Google to look through a few translations. I hope this is correct. Faith or purpose, which is ukukolo. Gogo Lumpi is not here. She was going to be excited. But anyway, faith or purpose is ukolo kenjongo yako. That's in Zulu. I hope I got it correct. Ukolo kenjongo yako. In Afrikaans, geloof ver idil or ver idul. And then we've got kutenda kwechananga chako. So that's faith or purpose in Shona. And then nalitumelo ya morero wabupilo biagago. That's also faith or purpose. So that's what we'll be talking about right now. We spoke in the last few Sundays rather, as I say, about what faith is. And we've seen in the Word of God how God demonstrates faith. So in other words, I can't, for example, today tell you that I'm trusting God that tomorrow, next week, Friday, I will be in Balito for holiday and have faith about that and ask you guys to pray for me because I want to be in Balito next week, Friday for holiday. Is that faith or is it wishful thinking? Is that faith or is it testing God? So we need to think about what faith is. What can we trust God for? Is it in line with the plan that he has for our lives? So that's what I want us to talk about today, because throughout the scripture, we see how faith works. We see faith in operation. We spoke a number of times about Abraham leaving his father's house. We spoke a number of times about Sarah trusting God that she will have a baby. So I want us to speak about that today, that whenever we look at scripture, we actually see faith operating in one of these two ways. It's not necessarily the only two ways, but most of the times we see faith operating in those two ways. The first one is that's what we call faith for purpose. So faith for purpose, for example, if we look at Genesis 37, 5 to 8, let's just read it. Genesis 37, 5 to 8. I'll read it from here in the NIV version, actually, from my notes here. It says, Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. That's Genesis 37, 5 to 8. 6 says, he said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. So I believe that many of us sitting here today, we've got a dream of some sort. Many of us sitting here, you've got a dream of some, whether it's with regards to your career, whether it's with regards to, you know, building that dream home, you know, others it's with regard to being successful in business. But all of us have a particular dream. In other words, we all have a particular seed that we carry, all of us sitting here today. Can I see, by a show of hands, who does not have a dream? Does anyone not have a dream? Does anyone have a dream? Let's see those who have a dream. So all of us here, one way or the other, we've got a dream. We've got a seed that we have, that we bear in our lives. And we see here, even in the story of Joseph, that he had a dream. It was almost like this was the time when God planted a seed in his heart. So I believe even in our lives, when we spend time in prayer, when we spend time thinking, there's particular times in our life when God deposits something in our hearts. You know, sometimes you go through life, you go through particular situations, but all of a sudden you reach this turning point where you believe, this is my dream. This is what I want to do. Like I said, some of you, it's even maybe finishing varsity. Some of you is maybe becoming even one of the top judges in this country. Who knows? But the fact is that it's a dream. It's a seed that has been planted in you. And we see here even in the life of Joseph that a seed was planted. He had a dream. But he did not even know how that was going to be accomplished. But he required faith. In order to accomplish that dream, he required faith. And we see it throughout the life of Joseph. There's a second scripture I want us to look at. It's Luke 4, 18 to 19. And this is another scripture that demonstrates another way that faith operates in the Bible. And we see that it's in it's in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. So another way we see faith operating in the Bible is faith for freedom. And by faith for freedom, what I mean is that it's faith that sets people free. In the Bible, we see a number of scriptures where Jesus will heal the sick. We see a number of scriptures where Jesus will cast out demons. And that is, we see in that faith in operation. Let's quickly read from Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19. Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19. I'm going to read from 18 now. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptance, the acceptable year of the Lord," rather. So we see another way that faith is in operation in Scripture. It's when people get healed. It's when people receive Christ. Some of you stood here a while back ago and received Christ in your life. That's faith in operation. You had to believe God. You had to have faith in God. Come stand here and say, "I believe in God." So that's one of the ways that faith operates. But today, I want us to focus specifically on faith pertaining to the purpose that God has for our lives. And as I've mentioned, we all have different dreams here. We bear different seeds, each and every one of us. But the thing is that in life, as we live sometimes in life, it's almost like the dream gets stunted. It's like the seed that you carry gets stunted. It's almost like you have a disruption that comes into your life, and all of a sudden you reach a turning point. Perhaps you get discouraged. Perhaps you stop thinking about your dream. Perhaps you stop watering that seed that God has given you. And today I want us to speak briefly about that. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 13, 24 to 30. Matthew chapter 13, 24 to 30. I mean, I want you to realize how many times have we met Christians who sometimes give their lives to the Lord and all of a sudden they pull back. How many times you carry a dream, you carry this dream, but all of a sudden you get discouraged and you pull back. So I want to look at what Scripture says about that. Let's go to the book of Matthew 13, 24 to 30. It's the parable of the wheat and the tares. It says, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed." Who sowed good seed in the NIV version. Who sowed good seed in his field. So the Bible says here, it tells about the kingdom of heaven. That is like a man who sows good seed in his field. And I believe we all here, all of us here, I believe we carry good seed. But man slept. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So we all have a dream. We all of us have a seed. But as we go through life, like as we see here, while the man slept, the enemy came and sowed some tares. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, that's 26 now. When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, "Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us then to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So it's this scripture is almost telling us like we live sort of a life of contradictions. While you have a dream about something, at the same time, there's another corrupt seed growing alongside it. It's almost like, say, you are a wife, you've been praying God that, you know, I want my marriage to go well. But then you get home. When you get home, your husband tells you, Mfazi, I want my food. But you'll be praying that, God, I want us to, you know. But when you get home, something is different. It's almost like you're praying, but something negative is happening. Some people are smiling. I won't mention names. But anyway, so what I'm saying to you is that it's almost like when you plant weed, there's a tear growing alongside. There's a picture here that shows, you see, that is a tear that's wheat. And you can see they are almost similar. They are almost similar. You can't tell the difference. That's why when we read this parable in Matthew 13, they were able to grow together. And they only saw later on that, no, wait a minute, we've got something here that's almost counterfeit. It almost looks like the wheat, but it's not the wheat. And they ask, the servants ask their master that, what shall we do? What shall we do? He says, no, don't remove it, because if you remove it, you will also remove the wheat. Let them grow together up until harvest time. When harvest time comes, that's when you'll be able to reap the wheat. And sometimes that happens in our life. It happens in our life. It's almost like when you've got a purpose, there's always like maybe pain that comes alongside with it. It's like you've got purpose, but there's also sometimes confusion, almost a counterfeit of the purpose that God has for your life. That comes along with that. Can I have a sip of water, please? So it's almost like it's a natural law. So whenever there's a seed, there's also a corrupt seed that comes alongside it. A while back, I listened to an interview by Darlene. I think her surname is Sheck. I always get it wrong. But the lady who used to lead Hillsong Music. Now, she said growing up, she was a pop singer. She knew she had a gift. She used to sing pop music, and she was good at it. But she also became a Christian. But now, there was a point in her life when she had to decide, pop music or gospel music. In fact, she says she was approached by a recording company, and they offered her a huge contract. And then she felt God saying to her that, you know what, you can take the contract, that's fine. You'll be very successful, you'll be popular, you'll be rich. But that won't be the purpose that I have for your life. So it almost like she had that dream, which is wheat, let's call it wheat today. But there was also a tear there. And the tear was that you can actually also be successful in pop music. So is it gospel or pop music? So that's what I'm trying to say to you today, that whenever we carry a dream, there's always something that comes along with it. It's up to us to decide that do we want the dream that we have to collide with the purpose that God has for our lives. And once it does, that's when we reach the destiny that God has for our lives. I want us to read from scripture again, from the book of Genesis. In fact, let's not read from Genesis. I'll just mention it. Because we know when we look at the book of Genesis from 7 to 8, we know that scripture talks about the flood that came upon the face of the earth. We know that, in fact, the Bible says before the flood, I think that's Genesis 5. It says before the flood, the sons of God defile the daughters of men. I don't want to get into a theological debate of what the sons of God and what's the daughters of men. But what we know is that something evil was happening during that period. Some people call it fallen angels, you know, and scripture goes on to say that Nephilims were born. A giant tribe were born. Some people say it got born out of that union. Some say, no, they came from somewhere else. But anyway, that's not the discussion today. But the discussion today that God saw that there was evil on the face of the earth. And God decided that in order to get back on track, in order to get back to the purpose that I have for mankind, there will be a flood. And we know that flood happened, Genesis 7 to 8, I think also 9, the flood happened. And then, you know, Noah had to build this huge ship that has never been built before. And remember that he had to spend 100 years building the ship. It was not 10 days, it was 100 days, imagine, building a ship of that nature. And then we not 100 days, actually, 100 years. So that's long, eh? Not days, years. Building a ship. So imagine the process that Noah had to go through while he's building the ship. He had to go through some insult. He had to go through embarrassment. That how can you build? What is this huge thing that you're building? People did not even know what was rain. I think Pastor Mike mentioned that last week that it even came along with climate change. People never knew what was rain. There had never been rain before. There had never been any drop before on the face of the earth. And now he's preparing for a huge flood. I think some of you are aware that if a few weeks ago there was floods in the Bahamas. They caused huge devastation. Now, that was only on a minor scale. Imagine a flood that annihilates the entire population. Only those who were with Noah in the ark were actually saved from the flood. And sometimes when we speak about this particular passage in Genesis, we think Noah and the family had a good time in the ark. I don't think they had a good time in the ship. Imagine they had so many animals with them, and those animals, for sure, they were stinking. No, just imagine the situation. You are in this huge boat with a number of people, with almost, you know, all animals, two of each animal. In fact, other animals was even seven. The clean animals was seven pairs of each of the clean animal and two pairs of each of the unclean animals. Just imagine that situation there, how they were using the bathrooms, if there were bathrooms. Well, and imagine they spend over a year. In fact, it's a year and 17 days in the ark. Now, people think it was all normal, but I think they were depressed. I think they were depressed. Spending time in that particular boat, I think they came out depressed, actually. They came out confused. Well, how can God do this to us? And we see Scripture tells us, I think this one we should read. Scripture tells us that when they came out, that is Genesis 8:22. In Genesis 8:22, Scripture tells us that when they came out, this is one of the things God said. He said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So the Bible tells us that here, God realized that these folks, they think their dreams have been disrupted. So immediately God came to them to give them courage. And he said to them, as long as the earth remains, summer and winter, seed time and harvest time will not cease. So when we carry these dreams that we have, when we carry these seeds that we have, sometimes they do get stunted. But time and time again, God will come to us and say to us, seed time and harvest time will not cease. So regardless of how many times you've been discouraged in the dream that you carry, regardless of how many times your business has been unsuccessful, God is saying to us today that seed time and harvest time will not cease. In fact, he even said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Imagine you're coming out of a flood and somebody comes to you and says, be fruitful and multiply. Imagine that. So it tells us the heart that God has for his people. Well, regardless of the disruptions that happen in our lives. Some of these disruptions, by the way, they are ordained by God. Look at the flood. The flood was ordained by God. It did cause a disruption to Noah and the entire generation. Imagine Noah coming out of the flood. The neighbors are no longer there. The friends are no longer there. That's stress. That's depression. In fact, if there were psychologists that day, he would have been admitted to a psychiatric hospital immediately after the flood, because he would have been depressed. But because it was God's plan for his life, God strengthened him. And he said, seed time and harvest time shall not cease. Go and be fruitful and multiply. I want us to go back again to the test run there. And then if we go to the next slide on the test there, we can see that, as I've already mentioned, that sometimes a tear may be a pain, that sometimes it may represent pain, as we said. So, together with your seed, there's a pain associated with it. There's all these negative voices. Noah had to deal with some negative voices that came along with the plan that God had given him about building the ark. So imagine, even the seed that we have, there's always opposition. There's always a pain associated with it. And also, the test may represent, as we said, misdirected purpose. You've got this passion that you have, like we spoke about Darlene Sheck. You've got this purpose that you have in your life. But because you have not yet dwelled with God, it becomes misdirected. And then we see that if we read from Exodus 2, 11 to 12, let's go to Exodus 2. It's the second book of the Bible. Those who can't find it. Exodus 2, from verse 11 to verse 12. It says, "Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren." You must recall that Moses had grown in the royal household. Moses was raised up in the Egyptian tradition. So everything he knew had to do with Egypt. Everything he knew had to do with royalty. But somehow during his life, God had deposited a seed in his heart. God had a purpose for his life, that actually your purpose is not to be in this royal household. You are going to set my people free. And this is what this scripture is talking about here. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Then we go to 12, it says, "So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." And to me, that is purpose misdirected. Because he's got that seed in his heart. God has deposited it there. God has planted it there. That you're going to set my people free. But he has not yet met with God. Now, because he has not met with God, what happens? That very same passion that he has to set God's people free, he uses to do what? To kill. He kills an Egyptian. He kills an Egyptian, it says here, and when he went out of the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one, who did the wrong? Why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. So we can see here that when Moses had this dream, but he did not know how to apply it. It was misdirected because it was not yet matched with faith. It had not yet met the word of God. But because of that, he misused it and he killed someone. But it caused a disruption, just like we spoke about the disruption that happened with Noah. It caused a disruption in his life. Because now what happened? He had to run away from Egypt. And it's when he was in the desert, when he ran away from Egypt, it's when now that is the time that now he met God. And God was able to direct the purpose that he has for his life. Amen. Amen. So I want us to think for a moment about our lives as well. What dreams do we have? What seeds do we have that are planted, that are misdirected? I've had somebody say to me before that he was giving a lecture, an accounting lecture at a particular place. But immediately after the lecture, somebody came to him and said to him, you are wasting your time. You shouldn't be giving this accounting lecture. You should actually be speaking about something else. And this guy turned his life around and started motivating people, started teaching the word. Because whenever he was teaching, whether it was accounting or maths, he will mix it with faith. He will quote other things here and there. And then somebody told him, no, you're wasting your time. You shouldn't be there. So I want you to think about the dreams that you have in your heart. Are they misdirected? Are you using them according to the plan that God has for your life? I want you to think about what you want to achieve in your business, what you want to achieve in your career, what you want to achieve in your household. Are you using it in accordance with the word of God? I mean, we read from scripture again. Paul had a passion. We know he had a passion. We know he arrested Christians all over the place and brought them to the authorities. That was a passion he had. He did with passion. But then what happened on the road to Damascus when now his passion collided with the purpose that God has for his life? He used the very same passion he had now for the kingdom of God. He took the gospel all the way to the authorities. So I want us to think about that, and how can we direct the plans that we have in our hearts, the dreams that we have in our hearts, how can we direct them in order to align them with the word of God? Now, I want us to speak about seed killers and dream killers. Like I said, when we go through life, there's a few things that happen. And when those things that happen, they sort of kill the seed. They sort of stunt the growth. And then there are four seed killers. And as we read this, I want you to think about your life. What is it in your life? Cultural distractions. That's the first one. Cultural distractions. You know, when God spoke to Noah, in fact, the Bible says in Genesis 5, 7 to 8, that Noah found grace because he was different. So when the earth was full of everything that was corrupt, that was happening, when the Nephilims were busy fighting and conquering, God looked upon the face of the earth and he was able to look at Noah. And he says Noah was different. And God looked at him. And it means that Noah was different from the culture of the day. Right. Noah decided to go against the culture of the day. So I want you to think about the community you live in. I want you to think about even the work where you work, even at home. But what is the dominant culture there? Right. What is the dominant culture? Is it in line with the word of God? And I want you to choose to be different to that dominant culture, that dominant distraction. Those are the distractions, cultural distractions that come. And when they come, they stand the seed of God in your life. I mean, people work in places where, for example, during tea time, you will gossip about the boss. Or you give the boss a name. You know, a while back, I worked at another place where, this is not actually not funny, but I worked at this place. They do not like this particular person. She had a condition on her leg. So her leg had, I forgot the name of the condition. But when I was sitting there with the guys, I found out that they kept on saying elephant, elephant. And then when I asked them what's elephant, then they pointed at this particular manager. Because she had that condition called elephantitis, something like that. So her legs were swollen and all that. But you see, at that point, I decided to leave them, go eat somewhere else. Because now we're gossiping about a senior person at work, and even giving her names. You know what I mean? So what I'm trying to demonstrate to you that we need to depart from the dominant culture. What is the dominant culture? Is it about gossiping about a particular race group? Is it about gossiping about people from another country? My wife knows that nobody says kwere kwere in my house. Nobody says le kwere kwere in my house. In fact, if you say le kwere kwere, it's most likely that we won't be friends anymore. You know. So there are some things that go against what is. So we need to choose to go against what's dominant. The other thing we need to choose to is voices of doubt. Now, we read also how Sarah was discouraged within herself. Now, voices of doubt can come from other people. They can come from home. Voices of doubt can come from your community. But sometimes the voices of doubt can come from within yourself. Right. You know, when we read that scripture last week, it says, Sarah laughed. When Sarah heard that she was going to give birth, she actually laughed. The doubt was coming from herself. So sometimes we have self-doubt. God appoints us to do something else, and then we start doubting ourselves. And I want us to quickly read from the book of Judges. So we need to deal with the voices of doubt that come from other people and that come from ourselves as well. And then as we can see from Judges chapter 6, I thought it was 4, but it's 6 here, 6 chapter 12, when the angel of the Lord, 6 verse 12, yes. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." I'm trying to open it here. It's taking long. But anyway, the angel of the Lord said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And then from 13 there, we can even see that now Gideon is doubting himself. It's almost like he's saying, "Are you talking to me? Am I the mighty warrior?" You see? And then he starts making excuses about being the least of the tribes. He starts making excuses about you, God, and you have already left us. You know, what's the point of this conversation in other ways? But so what I'm saying to you is that sometimes we need to deal with the self-doubt that we have in order for us to be able to accomplish what God has in store for us. And sometimes there's also tempting detours. And we see also in Genesis where the Bible speaks about, again, it's the story of Abraham. We see again that now there was an Ishmael. That was a tempting detour. It was a detour. The chosen son was not Ishmael. But we know that Abraham decided, "Oh no, I'm not getting a son. Let me try something else." And we also have discouraging delays. You know, we spoke about the entire process that Noah had to go through building the ark. Those are delays. The entire period that Abraham had to wait for the promised son. Those are, you know, some of the discouraging delays. And those things happen whenever you carry a seed of God. Those things that happen in your life, delays are there. Discouragement is there. So it's about how we handle it. But then how do we deal with all this killers, these seed killers that we face? And I want us to go back to scripture again. We see there that in order to deal with these distractions, we need to dare to be different from culture. Our next slide there has got dare to be different from my culture. And then that's the first thing we need to do. If you want to avoid distractions, so we must dare to be different from my culture. We have read the scripture already that from Genesis 5, 7 to 8. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and beast of the earth. For I am sorry that I've made them, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we said it because Noah was different from the dominant culture. Number two, what we need to do in order to stick to the dream that God has for our lives is that we must listen to God, not the voices of doubt. We must listen to God, not the voices of doubt. If we go to Genesis quickly, let's go to Genesis 18. So that's the second thing we should do. We should listen. We must not listen to the voice of doubt, but we must listen to God. Genesis 18, 12 to 15. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? So we can see, as we said here, it's now Sarah doubting what God is saying. And also that the next thing that we should do, one of the choices we should make, is to obey God and leave all the consequences to him. So when you carry a seed that God has given you, when you carry that dream that God has given you, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your career, we should stick to what God says. I mean, we read that if we quickly go to the book of Esther as well, Esther chapter 4, verse 16, and we must remember that this is a point in time when the nation of Israel was once again facing annihilation. They were in captivity, and they were facing annihilation in captivity. And we know that Esther was one of the most beautiful women in the country in Israel. But now the story, and I believe, it's not in scripture, but I believe that Esther thought beauty was probably her dream. Being beautiful, being adorable was probably a dream. But we know that there was a turning point. And the turning point for Esther came, and that's a disruption, by the way. It's a disruption in the life of Esther. It came when the king wanted somebody to marry. And Esther got presented to the king. And now we can see now that the dreams of Esther are now colliding with the purpose that God has for Esther's life. And then we read from Esther chapter 5, verse 16, where Esther now is saying, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan. Let's call it Shushan. And fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days. Night or day, my mates and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. If I perish, I perish. Now, we know that at this point now, Esther, through his uncle, Mordecai, he now understood the plan that God has for her life. That the reason why you are in the royal household now, the reason why you are now married to the king, is so that you preserve the children of Israel, is so that you speak with the king. And we read here in this particular scripture now, that now Esther at this particular point decided to obey God regardless of what. In fact, if we read just before here, the uncle, Mordecai, told her that, look, it's fine if you don't want to obey God, it's fine. God will raise somebody else to save Israel, but you might perish. God will raise somebody else to save Israel, but you might perish. But here in verse 16, Esther decides to obey God. She's saying, come what may, I will go to the king. And we must recall that during that particular point in time, the king had a number of wives. And you only come to the king if he calls you to the palace. If he doesn't call you, don't come. Apparently, if you went, then the king will kill you and get another wife. So that was the order of the day. But here Esther says, I'm going to go. She says, pray with me, fast with me. I'm going to go and approach the king. And we know what happened after that. What happened after that is that the entire nation of Israel was actually saved. Number four, never give up on dreams that God gave you. And here I'm saying from Genesis 37, because Genesis 37 tells us about the entire life story of Joseph, that he never gave up on that purpose that God has for his life. He never gave up on that seed that God has planted in his life. So that we must never give up on what God has in store for us. So, and as we read last week, everything is falling down now. So as we read last week, that faith is a process. It is a process. Having a dream to accomplish it is a process. There's a process that takes place. And then we read again from Matthew 26. Mark 4:26. It says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So this scripture here in Mark 4 is confirming to us that having a dream, when you have a seed, for that dream to be accomplished, for that seed to eventually be a plant, it's a process. It's a process. I mean, this scripture here says, first the stalk comes out, then the head, then the full kernel. And it's during this process when the seed is growing. It's during this process that we need to submit ourselves to God, that we need to surrender ourselves to God. Many of us, like I said, we've got dreams, but have we surrendered them to God? Have we said to God that I want to be this, I want to do that? What do you think about it? Have we said that to God? And again, some of us have dreams that have been shattered. They've taken a detour. The growth has been disrupted. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that? So I want us to think for a moment again. What dreams do we have? What seed do we carry in our hearts? What seed do we carry in our hearts? And what do we want the Lord to do with the seed that we carry in our hearts? Are we going to allow self-doubt to discourage us? Are we going to allow voices of other people, voices that come from within, to discourage us? Some people, we look down on ourselves. We look down on ourselves. There was a scripture mentioned, I think Pastor Faisal was preaching a few months ago, that when the spies went into the land, into Canaan to spy, they felt they looked small. But who told them they looked small? They felt they looked small. Now, they even say, we have seen the Nephilims. The Nephilims who died in Exodus, in Genesis 7. But they've seen them. But they have died already. That tribe was already wiped out from the face of the... But now, when they go to Canaan, they said, we saw them. You see? And that was them doubting what God has told them. So I want us, as a church, to respond the way Paul responded. You know, when Paul had a disruption to the road to Damascus, he responded to God. Or what do you want me to do? He responded to God. So when these disruptions happen in our lives, when your business all of a sudden starts going down, when all of a sudden that dream you are supposed to finish varsity in 4 years, now it's 8 years, I want you to ask yourself, Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you directing me towards? I want us to think about those things today. You know, in the Bible, in John 11:25, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. Yes. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. So regardless of what we think about our dreams, regardless, sometimes we feel like our dreams, you know, we feel like everything has gone down the drain. We feel like we're going to be stuck at a place where we are forever. But the dream that God has for our life still stands. Jesus, the resurrection and life, is able to even quicken the seeds that we have lost. He's able to quicken the dreams that we have even forgotten about. Amen. Amen. So I want us to stand in this place today. We have heard the word of God today. We've spoken about dreams. We've spoken about seeds that God plants in our lives. And as I said to you, I want us today, as we stand here, to think about everything we have planned. Everything we've planned for our business. Everything we've planned about our careers. All the plans that we have about our families. All the plans we have about even our finances. I want us to think about it. Where does God fit in there? Where does God fit in there? The plans that we have in our hearts, the dreams that we have in our hearts, have we surrendered them to God? Have we submitted them to God? Are we achieving them using our own strength, or are we achieving them using the faith that we have from God? We have seen with Abraham that when you try to achieve things using your own strength, your wife will even laugh at you. We have seen that you will even have an Ishmael because you are using your own strength to try to achieve what God has put in your heart. You are using your own strength to try to make that business successful. But now we know that from the life of Joseph, that once you submit your plan to God, your purpose to God, your dreams to God, in fact, that dream comes from Him. That seed comes from Him. Once you submit it, you are able to accomplish it. You are able to save an entire generation like Moses did. You are able to be a voice for the Christians, just like Paul did. You are able to go from being the opposite to being what God has called you to do. So I want us in this place right now just to pray briefly, just to invite God in the plans and the dreams that we have. Just to ask God that, Lord, I want the plans that are in my heart. I want the purpose that I have in my life to be aligned with the purpose that you have for my life. And I want to use faith to achieve what you've called me to do. Father, we thank you this morning. We've had your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your word is the truth, Lord. We thank you that your word, Father God, has spoken to us today. And Lord, even as we stand here today, we submit all the plans, all the dreams that we have in our hearts. We thank you, Father God, that these dreams are from you. These seeds that we have, Father God, are from you. We won't accomplish these dreams on our own, but we'll accomplish them through you. So, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we choose, Father God, to accept the responsibility that comes with the dreams. We choose, Father God, to accept the pain and the distraction that comes with the dream. And, Lord, we choose to focus on you, Father God. We choose to press forward towards the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We know, Father God, that the seed that you've planted in us, Father God, you will water it. That the seed that you've planted in our hearts, Father God, that it will grow, Father God, to be a full corn, to be what you desire to be, Lord. We thank you, mighty God. We give you glory. And some of us are also standing here right now. You've had a dream, and it's almost like the dream has passed away. Just like Joseph, he was in jail. We know he was in jail. He was accused of something he did not do. And for Joseph, it's almost like the dream stopped right there. He was getting frustrated in jail. He actually even tried to get someone to help him. He was getting frustrated in jail. So do you find yourself at a place where you think, Lord, will I still achieve this? Is this still possible? And if you find yourself at that place, I want you again to pray to God today. The Bible says, as we read from John 25, that he quickens the dead. He can bring dead things. Dead things can bring them alive. We can prophesy over all those dry bones and cause them to come to life. Let's just pray over that right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now for every seed, Lord, that seems has planted, every growth, Father God, that has stopped. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, the Bible says you quicken the dead. The Bible says you are the resurrection life. And Father God, we speak your life, Father God, upon every dream, upon every seed that you have put in our hearts. We speak your life in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we say to you, come and cause our dreams to be aligned with your purpose. We say, Father God, come and cause your word to come into our lives, Father God, and resurrect every dream. Resurrect every dream, Lord, that's in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. So even as we go through life, even this week, as we are at work, as we are at home, let's continue to think about these things. Let's continue to think about the wheat and the tare. Let's think about those things that it's our purpose, but we are not achieving them the correct way. And let's do it the way God wants us to do. Amen. Are you happy this morning? You may be seated.